Time to take a trip around the National Football League, and helping us to do that today is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Clark, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, Vic.
Well, I want to start with a team that I never thought after 3 weeks, and I'm not sure after any weeks of this season I would be saying is the hottest team in the NFL, but it is the good old Buffalo Bills, a team I know quite well from my past, and I know it's a team you follow closely. How surprised are you about their 3-0 roaring start?
I'm shocked, to be honest with you. You probably are, too. I mean, I looked at that schedule and I said, okay, maybe they could, you know, win those first couple games, but boy, they opened in Kansas City, and that just looked like an easy Chiefs win. I mean, from what we saw last year, the Chiefs won the division.
Right.
Buffalo struggled again. You go, boy, the Chiefs at home, they were 7-1 last year. That should be an easy Chiefs win. It wasn't. That sort of was a signal that maybe we should start paying attention to these guys, or maybe it says more about Kansas City than it does Buffalo. And then they go home, and they pull out that dramatic win over Oakland. Now, that caused some people to open their eyes and say, okay, what's this ball club all about? But New England comes to town. And that's when New England comes to town, as you know, it's over. I mean, it's Tom Brady versus whoever's going to play quarterback for those. It's over.
Yeah.
And yet, not only they beat them, they come from 21 points down against Brady and the Patriots. I don't know how you do that. This team is a shocker, and it's good for football, and to me it's better for the people of Western PA at New York.
A couple of stories that have emanated from this start by the Bills, Clark, is the performance, of course, of Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you got a Harvard quarterback, which in itself is amazing. But Chan Gailey, his revival as a coach is taking place as well.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, or some people at least, who felt that was a really good move when they made it. Actually, most people were kind of like, huh, Chan Gailey, what? But I remember talking to Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News, good friend of yours and mine, and Goose was saying, this is a great move for these guys because it's exactly the kind of guy who can handle this offense, and he'll turn them into the team that I think they need to become, which is a balanced ball club that leans more with the run. It'll take some chances with the play calling, but he will take control of this offense and actually make it into something that it hasn't been. I think that's what we've seen. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't need to be Jim Kelly. He just doesn't need to be Rob Johnson, and that's what he's done. I mean, I think he's minimize the mistakes. The team seems to really have a lot of confidence in the kid. I'm told he works very hard. Obviously, he's a very smart guy, but he's perfect for that ball club. And you know, Fred Jackson's doing a terrific job. They've got a nice ball club that's really kind of complements each other. The defense is playing well too. It's something that I just, as I said, I love seeing it happen. But I will caution you about this, Vic, and you know well. In 2008, they come flying out of the gate in 2008,
right.
And they were 5-1 too. Like, granted, that was a different set of characters, different coach, different quarterback. But then what happened? The bottom fell out. You know, you lost 7 of the last 8 and 8 of the last 10.
And it's all about sustainability. Now, how about Tom Brady? As you mentioned, when he comes to town, any town in the NFL, usually bad things happen to the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
He played a very un-Tom Brady-like game. 4 interceptions, had the pick 6. So how much do we read into that performance, again, against the divisional opponent? And because it looked like the Patriots were unstoppable, obviously, going into that game.
Yeah, it did. I wouldn't read too much into it except for this. That was the first time to me that I saw somebody really bottle up their running game. They couldn't score at the goal line, and so Brady, with a running game, so Brady's throwing the ball. It makes you wonder, if this is such a one-dimensional attack, I mean, how long can Brady sustain these kind of numbers, and are the interceptions going to catch up to him? I mean, last year, he had 4 interceptions all season. He had 4 interceptions last weekend. So
right.
That's extraordinary for him, but I think it was just, you know, a couple of those balls were tipped. I mean, I think it was one of those blips on the screen. You go, okay, it happens. It was bound to happen sooner or later. But the fact that they couldn't run and they had to rely so much on him in that game, is that a signal of what we're going to see when teams do stop the running game, when Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or Danny Woodhead can't get that 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1? Is this what we're going to see in the future? I don't think so. I think it's too early to make that call. I wouldn't read a whole lot into it other than just a remarkable and unpredictable finish by the Buffalo Bills.
Clark Judge from CBSSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Clark, we touched upon the Raiders, another team that the Bills had beaten. They take on the Patriots this week, but what do we make of their team? It looks to me like Jason Campbell is coming into his own as a comfortable quarterback now, a guy I think who knows he is the man there.
Yeah, no, that's right, and Hugh Jackson's made him feel that way, and I think they're responding to Hugh. This is a team that responded to Tom Cable a year ago, and I wasn't sure how they would react with another head coach, but they seem to have come out of it pretty well. I mean, you can make the case he should be 3-0. And they would be were it not for that last drive with Buffalo. But, this is the thing I like about this ball club is it's a big physical team that wears down people. Not so much with Jason Campbell as with Darren McFadden and Michael Bush. That running game is very, very solid. Defense, not so solid. But the running game will kill you. I mean, they'll just pound people into submission. That's what happened last weekend with the Jets. Rex Ryan came into that game going, I've never seen that happen to us. This is a good football team. I look at this ball club and say, you know, I thought San Diego was a team to beat in that division. I'm not so sure anymore because this is a club that's won 8 straight against the AFC West. So we know they can beat those teams. What we didn't know is whether they could beat teams outside of there. And when they lost to Buffalo, I went, okay, here, same old, same old. Ah, they beat the New York Jets last week. This is going to be an interesting game this weekend, Vic, because if nothing else, it's going to be entertaining. There are going to be points galore in this game. The Raiders, 28th overall defense. The Patriots, last.
Yeah, it feels like, and I got that feeling watching, of course, that Raider-Buffalo game and like Patriot-Buffalo game, that we're back to the old AFL days. The shoot-em-out fun stuff
right.
Back and forth. Very entertaining, yes. No defense, very entertaining. But and the thread continues here because you referenced the Jets. They were, as you said, the Raiders offensively pounding on that Jet defense, and you don't think of that Jet defense having anyone pound on them as physically as the Raiders were able to do. Kind of a humbling game, very humbling game for Rex Ryan and that Jet team. So they get to travel to Baltimore this week. What do we make of the state of the Jets? Now does it finally seem that all the talking that Rex Ryan does is coming back to haunt him a little bit?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, it's way too early. This team, you know, is okay right now, but they're in the middle of a brutal swing. I mean, he had Oakland last week, you have to go to Baltimore this week, and then you go to New England next week. And I said last week before the Oakland game, I thought this was the most winnable of those three, and I still do, because I think they match up well against Baltimore, plus, you know, Rex going home and everyone else, Derek Mason, Bart Scott, Jim Leonard. It's a special game for Rex, and I think they just match up well against these guys. Baltimore last week came out throwing, and they want to throw. They want to put the ball in Joe Flacco's hands more this year. They want to turn more of that offense over to him. But this is the team you don't want to do that against. They're sound in the secondary. Yeah, I know Cromartie had a bad game last week. He's up and down. But this is his week to be up, you know, and that's a good secondary. And they do get after quarterbacks, and they will force you into mistakes. Now, Baltimore's got Ray Rice, but I don't know that Ray Rice can carry him against these guys. It comes down to, you know, can Sanchez not make the mistakes? Can they run the ball effectively? And I think they will be able to run the ball effectively against Baltimore. I just, for whatever reason, I think they'll make a commitment to do it. I think it's going to be a close game, low-scoring game, but I think the Jets win this ball game.
As we look at the other powerhouse or presumed powerhouse of the AFC North, you just talked a little bit about Baltimore. Pittsburgh Steelers certainly didn't look very sharp at all in beating a struggling Colts team last week. And I think it made people rethink a little bit the Browns' victory at Indianapolis, too, because it was not an easy place to win, even without Peyton Manning there. But what do we make of the Steelers?
I think this is a team that's got some issues that are long-term issues that need to be addressed. And I'm not sure they can be addressed this season, Vic. I saw them against Baltimore in the season opener, and the first thing that I drew from that game was this defense suddenly looks old and slow, and it is old and it is slow. Now, you know, Warren Sapp said, you know, it's over. It's not over. I mean, because they've got a schedule that's honestly fairly easy to play in terms of the opponents from last year. And they're playing the, I think it's the NFC West and AFC South. And it's a good year to play the AFC South because there's no Peyton Manning. So they pick up those opponents. Now, within the division, Cleveland's a better ball club. Cincinnati's probably a better ball club, too. But you would think that they could beat those clubs. And now Baltimore just torched them in that first game. And Baltimore's a team that's going to improve as the season goes on. And the question would be, you know, if they're going to improve, what does it mean when these two teams meet in November? And I think Pittsburgh's got to figure that out, because when I looked at them last week, it's not only the defense, the offensive line, and that's no revelation, is terrible. I mean, they're injured. They're not very good. They're just not pass protected as they should. And people ask about what's wrong with Ben Roethlisberger. Well, I'll tell you, it's the offensive line. They can't pass protect. Yeah, he holds the ball a long time. He always has, but he's getting killed there. And the difference, Vic, in between this team in the past was they always beat you with defense, always. Not the case this year. Look at the takeaways. That takeaway last weekend,
right.
That was their first this season. They have one takeaway all year. That's the worst in the NFL. So that's got to change for this team to change. They're not going to get younger. They just simply have find ways of getting to the quarterback as they have in the past. And you know, good luck, Dick LeBeau.
As we shift to the NFC, no big revelation that the Green Bay Packers are playing exceptionally well. Aaron Rodgers on another planet at quarterback. And again, a lot of things that we know and have seen of them. But how about the Detroit Lions? And when I think of them, I guess I'm thinking of them in the same light as we talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, no, that's right. Although I think most people would tell you that there were signs this team was coming out of its funk. You know, last year, those last four games that they won, you went, whoa, they look like they might be a team that's on the rise. And then they draft Nick Fairley, had a good overall draft. And you think, well, you know, this might be the season. And honestly, I felt this is going to be the season. I'm as a wild card team. I still think they'll be a wild card team. Not going to win that division because Green Bay's in that division, but they're better than Chicago and they're better than Minnesota. And they're better than a lot of ball clubs out there if they can keep Matthew Stafford on the field. And that's always been an issue. I think that the loss of Michael Ashour, the third round draft pick, was huge for them because you need to complement the passing game with a decent running game. As long as you've got Javed Best in there, you've at least got a chance. But there's really not much behind him. Jerome Harrison's the next line of attack. And Best has suffered two concussions in 2 years. You know, once at Cal, or in three seasons, I guess. One in Cal, and then one this preseason. That scares me about him, and it makes me wonder if this team's going to be more one-dimensional. That's not good for Matthew Stafford. I think there are going to be some issues that need to be addressed this weekend with their pass protection, particularly the left tackle Jeff Backus going against DeMarcus Ware. That's going to be a tough matchup. You want to keep Stafford on the field, but as long as he's there, boy, I love this team. They will attack you. When Fairley gets back in the lineup, they're going to be so tough on opposing quarterbacks. It's going to be tough to beat these guys. This is a good ball club.
Help me sort out the NFC East because I keep scratching my head. We've got Michael Vick and injuries. We've got the Dallas Cowboys with Tony Romo, right, injury and screaming at all his teammates on offense, and they look a little discombobulated all the way through. The Washington Redskins had some promise, and then Rex Grossman did some Rex Grossman thing, what he's done in the past in that game against Dallas. And the New York Giants, what to really make of them. How do you sort out that division?
Well, I'm still in the Philadelphia Eagles corner, and it's going to take me a while to come out of that. The Eagles have started slowly before, and Andy Reid's always found a way to fix problems. And I was down there last weekend, listened to Andy on Monday, and he said, listen, I'll get better as a coach, and we will get better as a team. I know that'll happen because it's happened in the past, plus San Francisco's coming to town. So what they've got to address is an offensive line that's not very good right now, but needs to gel, get some chemistry there. And a defense they've got to somehow figure out. I mean, Andy took a great leap this year and a big risk in my mind by promoting his offensive line coach to the defensive coordinator. And he explains it reasonably and rationally, and it makes sense when you hear it. But still, it's a gamble. And I think right now you're seeing some of those growing pains that the defense and their new coordinator are going under. And you saw that last week. The defensive line's very good. Linebackers aren't. And they're having safety problems, some issues at safety. Cornerbacks, they signed Nnamdi Asamoah to a big deal, and he's one of the best bump-and-run corners in the game. Bump-and-run corners. They hadn't played a lot in zone last week. I mean, right, it makes no sense. And he got lost, and he got beaten on a couple plays. And you go, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on is that they need to develop some chemistry, and I think they will over time. Just because you have the best players, or some of the best players, doesn't equate to having the best team out there. We've seen that in other sports. Certainly the Miami Heat comes to mind. But this isn't a dream team. This is a lot of good players put together on one football team that need to develop some chemistry. And I think will over time. That loss last week should have opened their eyes. Like, whoa, I mean, what is going on? We got not only beaten by the Giants, we got thumped by a team that was undermanned. It's one thing to get beaten by Tony Gonzalez 1 week in for touchdowns. But Victor Cruz, come on. I mean, the Giants, to their credit, did a masterful job. But the Eagles need to wake up and smell the coffee here and go, okay, we've got to start protecting Vic, and we've got to start doing a better job defending the pass.
Yeah, are there any surprises to you? Because each year it seems like, especially the NFC West, that it's always kind of close, competitive, and maybe in a bad way. It's mediocrity and who's going to rise or win one more game to qualify. Yeah. Anything there? And I'll ask it in the same vein of the NFC South, which is clearly, I think, a stronger division, but also has a lot of evenness in terms of competition and even keeping an eye on that Carolina team. I know they're going to probably struggle more, but with Cam Newton's performance. So those two divisions, anything jumping out at you there?
Well, in the NFC West, I would say it's San Francisco. I mean, they've won two of their first three games, and You know, maybe they shouldn't have won last weekend. They did. I don't care. You don't win on, you don't get style points in this league. You get wins and losses, and they're 2-1.
Yep.
That's good for them. It's good for Jim Harbaugh. I think they come back to earth this week against Philadelphia. But at least they're in it right now. Now, Alex Smith is struggling again, and that's not a revelation. That's nothing new. At some point, Colin Kaepernick's going to play. I didn't think it would be this year. It might be. It might be in the second half of the season. Alex Smith is struggling, but as long as they keep winning, they'll leave him there. But I'd say maybe right now, that's the one team. Or, you know, on the flip side, St. Louis, the fact that they're not winning, that's a surprise. But if you looked at that early schedule, you went, that could be a minefield for them. They better negotiate that carefully. I honestly think that this is a must-win this weekend for St. Louis. You don't like to say that the fourth week of the season, but, boy, you go winless through the first four games, be tough to dig out of that. Even in the NFC West, it's tough to dig out. So
sure.
I think they need to win this game. In the South, I mean, it's sort of, to me, playing by form. I mean, I thought New Orleans was the strongest team. I thought Atlanta would give them a run with Tampa falling behind. I think that's kind of the way it's going to play out. Atlanta is weaker than I thought. I honestly think they've gotten away from what they were, and what they were was a team that ran to set up the pass, and now they pass to set up the run, and I don't think that's the way to go. I'd go back to where they were, but they drafted Julio Jones and paid a lot, and you guys in Cleveland benefited from it, but that's the way they are right now. I think they need to get back to what they were. You're right, Carolina's more interesting. They are more interesting. They're still the fourth place team there, and they will be, but they're at least a more intriguing team. I do think as the season goes on, the game's going to catch up to Newton.
Clark, phenomenal stuff. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, Vic, always.
That is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.